This is Scott Becker with the Becker Private Equity Podcast. Thrilled today to be visiting with Jeff Munn. Jeff is going to talk today about this fascinating issue, and he does a lot of professional coaching with really successful entrepreneurs. This issue is an entrepreneur, it's seemingly at the home run, sells his business or her business either completely and cashes out, or he or she sells to a private equity fund. And as opposed to being ecstatic, there's a big letdown. They need to figure out what that person's going to do now. And sometimes far more depressed and excited. Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about yourself? And then let's talk about what you see here in terms of founders and the aftermath of selling a business.
Yeah, sure, Scott. First of all, great to be here. Thanks for having me on. I'm a little bit about my background. I'm a recovering lawyer. I spent 25 plus years in consulting and healthcare and financial services. In 2016, I started my own coaching business, left the corporate world for good, and I now, as you mentioned, I do a lot of work with C-suite execs in healthcare, many of whom are in startups. So my focus is on helping those folks, you know, really step into their own innate style of leadership so they can have more impact while also coming from a little more connection, a little more ease, so they can really have a higher quality life than a lot of particularly startup execs have. As you know, it's incredibly stressful. Go ahead.
Let's talk specifically about this issue, Jeff, because one of the issues that you had raised with me, but I've read about a great deal, is this sort of founder's dilemma. The founder's always searching for that pot of gold. They get that pot of gold, and then they find that they're unhappy or dissatisfied. Tell us a bit about what you see there and what people could do about it and how normal that is.
Yeah, well, when you think about starting a business, to get to your question about what's normal, when you think about starting a business, there's really a couple ways to do it. So one is, you're really passionate, you're really clear about this sense of purpose. It almost seems like it's coming through you, and that it's not even, you know, you necessarily, that you're not attached to the results. And you really, you go out there in the world trying to create this thing, trying to learn, and your sense of self-worth isn't tied up in it. It's more about this sense of, you know, putting something out there into the world. Now, unfortunately, my experience is that perspective, that I'm passionate about this and I'm unattached to the result, is pretty uncommon. What seems to be more common instead is that desire comes from this sense of wanting to prove something. Like so many of us, and it amazes me how the higher up I'm talking in an organization, the more common it is to run into this sense of, I've got to prove myself, I'm not enough, there's something wrong with me. And there's also this sense that if I get to a certain point, if I found a company, if I sell a company, if I get a certain amount of money, that's somehow going to fix me, that's somehow going to prove to whoever that I'm okay. And I think that's the group that struggles, because, you know, the truth is that if you have this nagging sense of doubt that you're not enough, there's nothing outside of you, whether that's money or something else, that's ever going to quiet that voice. And so I think the people who are let down are the people who think, when I get to this point, then I will be enough. And Scott, to be honest, I've talked to people who have gone through 3 exits and they still don't have that, oh yeah, I've arrived sense in them.
And so how does somebody deal with that to get to the spot where they more find themselves loving the journey, not just the goal, and they get themselves in a more positive framework? Because what you're talking about is so common with so many high achievement people. They think if only they get this, they'll be accepted in that social group. If only they do this, they'll be applauded for this. If only this happens, they'll feel good. And we see it with athletes, with people of every stripe and type. You know, I was watching a fascinating documentary about Marty Fish, who finally got to the top of his tennis career. He was a great tennis player, you know, not at Borg and McEnroe, but got to as high as he could get, and found himself just, you know, psychologically just a total mess. How do people deal with this? They finally achieve the success they think they want to achieve, and they find they're no happier than they were before. How do they change their mindset to work through some of those issues?
Yeah, a lot of the work that I'm doing with people gets to that issue, because it's more about it's a pretty fundamental shift in how you see the world. So I think you know, most of us tend to think that there is this world out there that is happening to us, and that if we can fix that world out there, we'll be okay. And the truth is, if you really look at this through the perspective of neuroscience and psychology, you know, we're creating our experience. Like there's no, and I'm sorry, I'm getting a little deep on you, but you know, there's no direct way for us to experience whatever outside is. We're always having an internal experience. And there is something, Scott, that when we really begin to see that, we suddenly begin to take all of our stories about the world a lot less seriously. Because I don't know if you've had this experience where you can be really worked up about something, and 5 minutes later, you're like, oh, yeah, that's fine. Because our experience of the world is constantly changing. And when that experience begins to loosen its grip on us, we begin to discover that we have this, like a lot of the things that we were looking for outside of us, our sense of wholeness, our creativity, it was always there within us. And somehow we're able to access it more and feel all of those things we were looking for, that sense of connection and purpose and meaning. It was there the whole time. And then when we get to that place, then you go back to that first example I gave you, where it's like when you're creating from that place, everything just becomes a lot easier, more meaningful, more powerful. And that sense of doubt, we begin to recognize it's like, oh, that's just my little, you know, that's just my little story in my head. That's not real. And I don't have
to believe it. But talk about, Jeff, for so many people, that how do you sort of combine these concepts of that chip on the shoulder that often leads an entrepreneur to that crazy amount of drive that leads to building teams, that leads to success, that leads to their success, with trying to lighten up some?
It's a paradox, isn't it? Yeah.
It really is, yeah. So how do you find that balance between, you know, taking that chip off the shoulder, so not so abrasive, not so internally crazed, but at the same time still have the drive to cause great success?
So here's my experience, and I've worked with a lot of people on this. I think there's the sense of what am I afraid will happen and what really happens. And what people are afraid of happening is that if I'm not driven, if I'm not a jerk, if I'm not an overachiever, if I'm not, you know, fill in the blank, then nothing will get done. And I've literally had clients say this to me, you know, I'll just sit on the sofa and eat bonbons all day. And what actually happens?
But it's not necessarily either or, is it? You don't have to be a jerk and hypermotivated.
But yeah. So what actually happens is when you begin to see, oh, I have this deeper creative capacity that's always creating, and so we couldn't. You know, those of us who have that entrepreneurial spirit, we couldn't sit on the sofa and do nothing if our lives depended on it. We're always creating. What ends up happening is we just start creating from a much easier, more relaxed space, and we actually get more done. It's paradoxical, but I've seen it happen over and over again. Not only do we get more done, but that the things that we choose to focus on, it becomes much more clear which of the plates we actually need to spin and which of the ones we don't. And we end up getting more of the important things done and letting go of the less important stuff.
And talk about the practical question of the successful entrepreneur who's had great success and needs to figure out, he or she needs to figure out what to do next. How do they sort that out? How do you see people try and sort that out? That seems to be part of this discussion as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think the what we tend to do. So again, there's this issue of what we tend to do and what looks useful and what's actually useful. What we tend to do, what looks useful, is, you know, we make a list of pros and cons. We start to brainstorm. We look at spreadsheets. We look at business models. And all of that stuff has a place, and in particular, it has a place in like running an actual business. But when we're thinking about these bigger questions of like, what do I want to bring into the world? Who do I want to be now? Who am I now? Those answers tend to emerge when we stop trying to figure them out. We've all had those little moments of insight when the thinking stops, when we suddenly get, oh, I want to do this. And there's no way we could have necessarily figured that out. Sometimes it's even a little bit paradoxical or counterintuitive when we discover what it is we want to do next. But it's how do we make space for more of that kind of thinking, that kind of insightful, you know, the kind of insight, those aha moments. How do we make more space for that? And then how do we operate from that more consistently? And when people are able to do that, they find they get a lot more clarity, a lot more quickly on what they want to do next, rather than kind of struggling with a bunch of facts and trying to figure it out.
But this is really true, isn't it? I mean, so many times, need to breathe and slow down to figure things out. It's not just making more and more lists. It's not just more, but it's very counterintuitive for a type A personality who wants to just figure
Absolutely.
It out. Let's get on a piece of paper and figure it out. Really, sometimes you just need to breathe and slow down to figure it out. It's always in their healthiest, most creative places when they can breathe and slow down and do those kinds of things.
Yeah. Yeah. And another thing to recognize is, you know, you'll talk about being centered or being present. You know, how can we do that more often? And so what that ends up turning into is a bunch of practices to work on that, right? It turns into a project. So, you know, I've got my meditation practice. I've got my yoga practice. I've got my workout. I've got all these things. And what we don't recognize is if we stop doing that stuff, if we stop trying to achieve it as a place, it's our inherent state. We are so often so keyed up and so in stress mode and so in what's called the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight space, that we don't recognize that when we're not there, we automatically go to this place that's more present. If we only allow ourselves to settle, it's a lot easier to get to that place and also recognize that, like everything in our lives, it comes and goes. So when we're there, we appreciate it. When we're not there, it's like, you know, I'm not there right now, but I know that I will be. And that's just the way that the human experience works.
Magnificent. Jeff, you're one of the brightest people I ever get a chance to visit with in this sort of executive leadership and coaching space. How do people learn more about you, or how do they find you if they want to visit with you?
I post a lot on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is a great way. If you're kind of curious about my view on this leadership journey, that's a great way to connect to me. And also, you can send me an email at jeff@jmunn.com. jmunn.com is my website. Lots of stuff there as well.
Jeff, thank you for taking the time to visit with us. I think it's such an important, interesting subject for all those out there that are entrepreneurs or business people of any sort, quite frankly, that think when they reach the pot of gold, they'll be happy, and then they find they're there, they're not, and they need to figure it out. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Scott. It was a lot of fun.